Good morning. Good morning. We'll be talking the whole episode through. Good morning. Good morning. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, to you and with me. Good morning. As always, from Hampton, Maine, it is my Aunt Beth Woods.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And joining us is a very special guest. You might know her from being related to her, just like me and Aunt Beth are. Or you might know her if you've ever given birth in the past few years in Washington Heights, Manhattan. Please welcome, live from the Upper West Side, Katie Malone.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right.
Even though it's evening.
Well, it is evening as we are speaking right now as we are recording, but this episode will be available to listen to Sunday morning or whatever morning you prefer to listen to podcasts. But anyway, yes, this is That's Entertainment, and as you may have guessed, this is the musical episode of That's Entertainment. We are going to be tackling an entire genre of cinema, the kind where people break out into songs because their emotions are just too full to be contained by normal speaking. So, in case this is your first time listening, or you like a refresher, on That's Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three Fs. First, favorite, and forever. And as I've just mentioned, today's topic is movie musicals. And that topic was suggested to us by our guest. So, Katie, are you just always in a musical mood?
I am. I have had a friend say to me that my mind is musicals and thinking of new quinoa recipes.
Thanks. One of my roommates had quinoa today. There's little bits just left in the sink.
It does stay around.
It's surprisingly fragrant. Okay, so, one thing I wanted to mention. In the country right now, we are in the midst of a pandemic, and we're also in the midst of very intense civil unrest that I think I would say is more intense than it's ever been in mine and Katie's lifetime. Aunt Beth, how would you compare this to like the 1960s?
Well, I was still young then too. So I don't remember a lot of it, but I feel like this is pretty intense. I mean, that would have been, well, the Civil Rights Act, so I was probably only 10 or so. So it's hard for me to really, you know, I probably wasn't that aware of it. So I'm sure that was, you know, it's hard for me to say if this is worse or what, but anything like this is just so horrifying to me and scary.
I think I can speak for all three of us when I say that we stand alongside all victims of systemic racism and any discrimination.
Yes.
But yeah, so it felt weird not to acknowledge that was going on, but we are a pop culture discussion podcast, and I think one of our goals for our listeners is that you can turn to us when you need a break from the intensity and scariness of the world. So if this can provide you some relief from that anxiety for an hour or so, then we've met one of our goals. Not much of an easy way to segue, so I'll just move forward. Now, Katie, I did want to ask you, what do you think is the ideal length of a podcast episode? This issue has come up with me and Aunt Beth. We've kind of been discussing it.
I like under an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I personally like a mix. Some of my favorite shows can go regularly 2 hours, and it's nice to have ones that are quick bites, like 20 or 30 minutes. Aunt Beth definitely prefer. I think, would you say 45 minutes is ideal?
Yeah, I guess I just, not that I have a short attention span, but I mean, for TV, I can sit and watch shows longer, but when I'm just listening to something, even, you know, if it was on the radio or whatever, I just can't listen to people talking for that long. I guess if I was in the car and I had it on, yeah, then I'd be more apt to, listen to something longer. But if I just was putting something on in the house, I'd probably want it shorter.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think other marathon listeners, it's kind of something I put on in the background while I'm doing something else that I don't have to give 100% of my attention to. So, but there is at least one 12-hour podcast that I know of out there.
Oh my gosh.
Connor Ratliff and JD Amato co-hosted that. They're two of my brother's old Chris Gethard show colleagues.
Sheesh.
But anyway, so we've also been getting some feedback about our last episode, our best movies of the 2010s, that I wanted to mention. Yeah, I think my dad and my mom both talked to me. They've been working on their lists.
Oh, good. I want to hear theirs when they finish.
Yeah, it
is fun when you think about it.
Yeah, I was thinking I need to work on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who's listening, feel free to send them our way. You can email us at that's entertainmentpodcast@gmail.com, or you can, if you know me or Aunt Beth personally, you can feel free to text us your lists, and we'll mention them on the show, or we might post them on Instagram or something. And also, as a reminder, as always, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast listening app you listen to us on, we will read that review on the show. And I have an assignment for our listeners. If you are enjoying us, I would like you to text one person and recommend that they listen as well. Katie, I expect a little more from you as the guest of this episode. I expect you to at least tell two people, at least mention it to your roommates.
Okay, I can do that.
Awesome. We're ready, so let's get on with our topic.
Okay. Yes, we are going to now talk about, are we going to sing about it? We will find out. Movie musicals. We're going to be covering plenty of them, and it'll be a surprise to each of us which particular musicals we're going to be discussing. But there'll be ones, I can promise you, there'll be ones that we love. So we'll go ahead right into our first section, which is known as First. Very good place to start. And here we're gonna do it a little bit differently than usual. I think I said to Aunt Beth and Kate, let's talk about like sort of the moment when we realized we really loved musicals. But I said, you guys take the lead here, because I'm pretty sure you both are bigger fans of musicals than I am. So we'll let our guests go first. Katie, you let us in on.
I had the toughest time with this one, because it's been as long as I remember that I've loved musicals. I think part of that definitely had to do with our mother, Jeff. She is a huge musical fan.
Now our mother is not named Jeff. That was our mother, comma Jeff. Katie was talking to me.
But I do remember a moment, and I don't know if it was high school or college, but around that time, when I realized that at age 5, my favorite movie was Fiddler on the Roof.
It's hard to be Jewish. It's hard to be Jewish. It's hard to be Jewish in Russia. No.
Really?
No. You know how kids have that movie that they just keep rewatching and rewatching? Fiddler on the Roof was one of those movies.
At 5 years old? Wow. 5 years old,
yes. So I don't know if we had it taped or what. We must have had a copy. So when I realized that, I was like, oh, yeah, musicals.
I remember the soundtrack being played. I don't know if Dad played it a lot, but I don't think I've ever seen the movie.
I think we must have had a taped version of it or something, but yeah. And then, of course, as a young kid, Annie was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which I think that I remember we definitely taped on VHS. It was on like ABC, and we
had one too. Yeah.
Yeah. So those were early memories of loving musicals, but I couldn't really like place a time when I knew.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
I said mine was similar when you said because of your mother. I said mine probably was after hearing albums played on our old hi-fi in our living room, that my mother had the old albums from 50s musicals like South Pacific and Oklahoma, Carousel, Camelot, and West Side Story. And I just remember hearing them in the living room a lot, very often, and think so. I hadn't seen the movies, but I really liked the music. And then especially in fourth grade, so it would have been 1965 when after I saw The Sound of Music, and then I was hooked. And remember thinking years later that after I saw that movie, I was only 9 years old, I probably didn't understand 3/4 of what was going on in the movie, but just knew that I loved the singing and the dancing and the kids, and especially Julie Andrews. But something grabs you when, you know, you hear that the music and the dancing when you're younger. So that just got me. But probably not till I was about, not as young as you, probably, because when my mom would play those, I probably wasn't more aware of it, maybe like 8 or 9 or so.
Yeah.
And she would play those.
And there's still musicals that I've never seen, but I know all the songs.
Yeah.
My mom playing.
Having the album.
Season, yeah.
So do you remember hearing stuff, Jeff?
Yeah, I guess most of the ones that Katie mentioned, since we did grow up in the same house after all. But yeah, I mean, I didn't come up with the question as thoroughly for this portion of the discussion as you did, because I wanted to leave it to you here now to answer the challenge of trying to convince me to make musicals one of my favorite genres.
Okay.
So I'll say right now, I'd say horror is my favorite genre. I mean, I'm a true cinephile, so I will watch any kind of movie, but
that's good.
There are, so you don't have to convince me to love musicals, period. Just, but if you wanted me to sing from the heavens about how much I love them, what would you say to me?
Did you come up with something, Kate?
Oh, gosh. So musicals, they're just, they give you a way to express your feelings more than just talking. Visually, who doesn't love a choreographed dance scene? Mm-hmm. And I think even the sad musicals, like, the songs get stuck in your head, and they're just, it's like, now why do I, this is tough, Jeff, to convince you.
Yeah.
But would you on that one note you began with, would you recommend that I sing to the people in my own life? Like, do you think that would be an effective tactic in courtship, for example?
No, and maybe that's why musicals are great, because it's an acceptable way to just sing your feelings, where in life, I don't think that would go over well.
Okay. So you're saying it's a way to work out your socially unacceptable urges.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. That can appeal to me.
Okay, and I wrote down, a lot of times you hear people say, oh, I hate musicals, and I think they're not taking into consideration some, to me, the genius that goes into the films with the, when you witness some of the most clever lyrics that you're ever going to hear in any kind of music, any genre, you know, compare it, you know, people might say it's corny. If they ever listen to the lyrics that are written in some of these songs, it's unbelievable. And I just, you know, I think of some of my favorite songs, like compared to some of them, like could be compared to a rap song, the poetry, that it's just so clever. And then, like you mentioned, you know, you're going to have phenomenal choreography along with the clever lyrics. And so you'd have to be a pretty limited moviegoer to me if you didn't say, you know, if you flat out said, oh, I don't like musicals. So to me, people that say that then I would think, oh, well, then you're not a very, like you said, I give you a lot of credit, Jeff, because you say you do enjoy all forms of movies. And I you're better than me, because I won't go see horror movies, but that's just because I get too scared. So,
would you go to a musical horror movie? Because there are a few of those out there.
Well, I've gone to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
I did forget about that when I was writing this. I mean, I guess depends how scary it is. But yeah, I think people probably don't give musicals. Some people just flat out say, oh, I won't see a musical. I think they're really missing out on, you know, I guess I can see some parts if they want to say, oh, that's so corny, but they're missing out on a lot of it, because there's some genius, well, you know, I'm thinking this, we're talking about movies, but when you think of the genius of Hamilton and the lyrics, oh my God.
I was going to say, all you have to do is listen to Lin-Manuel talk about how he wrote lyrics.
I know.
The word corny is just out of your mind.
My Shot took a solid year to write.
Wow.
Because I wanted to establish Hamilton was this next level intellect, way smarter than I could be freestyling on the spot.
Right.
And, but then there's a song called Wait For It that I wrote on a train ride.
And I'm going to talk about that when we get into the next phase of my favorite musical, because I think these lyrics are genius too. So anyway, I hope we convinced you a little bit.
I think so. Well, I did one thing that you just prompted. So we established maybe singing to someone in real life might not be socially acceptable, but is there a context in real life where copying some of the choreography from musicals might be acceptable?
I don't know if you could start dancing.
What about a wedding? What if you wanted to, at your wedding reception, dance to do some of the moves from one of your favorite musicals?
Probably. That what might be more. Yeah, if it was the right setting. I mean, you couldn't just out of the blue start dancing, but yeah, maybe at a wedding. We'll see.
Okay.
Maybe at Wesley's wedding, we could plan a little. We need a little dance something.
Okay. So, yeah. if anyone out there listening has any ideas for what bit of choreography would best work at Wesley and Elizabeth's wedding, let us know and let them, or maybe don't let them know, let us know, and we'll spring it on them as a surprise at some point. I think we're ready to move on to the next section. Do you guys feel ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, get excited because section number two on That's Entertainment is the favorite section where we discuss our most loved pieces of the topic at hand. So we're going to go right ahead and reveal our favorite musicals of all time. Each one of us is going to pick our number one. Katie, as our guest, I'm going to go let you go first again. What is your favorite movie musical of all time?
This one I struggled with the least. West Side Story.
Oh! Oh, me too! Isn't that funny? That's fun.
I thought maybe we would have matched with this one.
I actually watched West Side Story last week in preparation.
I saw that on your list, Jeff. You had never seen it before?
I hadn't seen that or Singing in the Rain before, and I'm like, I'll take this opportunity to finally get to that.
Jeff, I don't know how we grew up in the same house and you never.
I've heard all the songs before.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Plenty of times.
Yes, West Side Story will always be my favorite. Do you want me to give a synopsis? I think everyone knows.
Well, you could give a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's a modern day Romeo and Juliet that takes place in New York in the 50s, about two street gangs, the Jets and the Sharks, and of course, Tony, who's a member of the Jets, is in love with Maria, who's brother is the leader of the Sharks. The songs are, even if you haven't seen West Side Story, everyone knows the songs.
Mm-hmm.
They're played on commercials and there's homages and parodies of them out there. One of my favorite parodies is there was a Gap commercial about 20 years ago set to Cool. Is it just called Cool, I think?
Yeah, that's the
play. And it was like these two, it was like two Gap-wearing gangs just dancing to Cool. And then SNL did a parody of that where Horatio Sanz and a bunch of like plus-size extras were doing the same dance from the commercial. And then it turned out to be a commercial for Gap Fat.
But this musical, speaking of the choreography, there's some of the best dancing. And I remember the first time that I watched this movie was with my dad. And the whole time he was like, oh, I just wish I could dance like them.
I think it's his favorite.
Is it one of your dad's favorites too?
I think it's his favorite.
Okay.
Yeah. And just the song Tonight, I think, is one of the first of its kind where it tells almost every character's story.
When they're all singing it. Oh, I love that.
All overlap.
I'm in because, well, we're both, you keep going, but I have more on that if you're, I didn't know.
Only thing, and I did watch this last night while working on my notes because I figured it was good background. Every time I watch it, I guess, can I give spoilers? I mean, it's a very old movie. I cry at the end every time.
Oh, my God.
Natalie Wood's speech at the end is just, yeah.
Katie, do you listen to Unspooled?
I do not, no.
Well, Unspooled, for anyone who doesn't know, it's with Paul Scheer and Amy Nicholson. They discuss the AFI's 100 Greatest Movie list, and in their West Side Story episode, I kind of remember them really singing Rita Moreno's praises, but not being as big a fan of Natalie Wood, thinking that maybe she was, I forget what their criticism was, but I think like they kind of thought she fell flat compared to compared to Rita Moreno, especially. But they're performances that are different at different volumes, is one way to put it. But I was I don't know, maybe I was maybe it's because I wasn't expecting too much, but I was very impressed by Natalie Wood. I thought her and who plays Tony?
What's his name? I was going to say George Shakiris. That's the other guy. Oh, who's Tony? My mind just went blank.
Let's see.
Riff is, I should be
Richard
on the
Boehmer. Richard yeah. Boehmer.
He never did.
Or is it Boehmer? Well, anyway, yeah. I thought the two of them had quite an intense chemistry.
Well, I love Natalie Wood was my favorite actress.
Well, I will say my one criticism of West Side Story is within the Puerto Rican gang and Puerto Rican characters, Rita Moreno is the only one who's actually Puerto Rican. So that is the one. I mean, it was made in the 60s, but that is my one criticism is, I mean, Natalie Wood is amazing and I loved her in that, but she's near Puerto Rican.
I know. Well, back then, I guess they didn't think about that right. as much. Well, that's funny that. So I said, that's funny that that's my it's my favorite musical, but also my favorite movie of all time. Is it also your favorite movie or just your favorite musical?
It's definitely my favorite musical. It's definitely in the top 10 for favorite movie.
It's my favorite. I said it has some of the smartest, cleverest lyrics of any musical, and the dancing is beyond compare. I wrote just the same. It was on Broadway first from 57 to 59 and came out in 61. And it was it won 10 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Supporting Actor and Actress and Director. Some of the dancing with a dance at the gym, and then it goes into that ballet. America, this is unbelievable. And just G. Officer Krupke, people should look up the lyrics to that. That's hysterical.
Brother Rob, he performed G. Officer Krupke at karaoke.
Oh, did he? So funny. And just America, the lyrics where it's the Puerto Ricans singing it, but they're talking about how being white versus being Puerto Rican, and some of them want to be here and some of them don't want to be here. And it's just brilliant. And you talked about, when I looked up, it looks like you can watch it in a lot of places. It's on Netflix, Google Play, YouTube, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Stars, so most places. But then the other thing I wanted to mention is, so this year at Christmas, they're doing a new version of it Steven Spielberg is directing, which is supposed to come out right before Christmas. I'm not sure how I feel about it because it is my favorite movie. And so I think, ooh, do I want them to make a remake of my... such a classic, you know, you wonder. I did read about the two girls that played Natalie Wood's role and Rita Moreno's role. I read a little bit about, and they did look promising. And then I think it's, who's the guy? It's a good guy in there that's playing. Is it Ansel?
Ansel Elgort, it looks like.
Yeah, and I do like him. So, I mean, I'll probably will see it, but I'm still not sure why they have to remake it. What do you think, Katie?
Yeah, I agree. Just let good things lie. It is a classic. Yeah,
it is a classic, and people, though, should go see it just to buy that. So that's another one. My mother had we had the album first, and it was actually the album from the Broadway show. So it's funny because some of the lyrics are, You know, when you listen to Broadway musicals, sometimes the lyrics are a little more risque than from the movies. So the Geoffs and Kroenke music and even America are a little different. And I finally bought the CD so I could just listen to the music in the car. It's just so good. And the dance, oh man, I love it so much. But when I saw that, my friend Barbie and June and I saw it in the movies, and Barbie and I sobbed at the end so loud. June was so embarrassed. I mean, I cry in movies like where tears will come down, but when the ending, which I won't, we were like sobbing. Yeah. It was so sad. So people need to go.
I guess I had come to New York to visit my brother Rob around Christmas, and one of the theaters was playing West Side Story. So we went to see it, and of course the theater is full with people who have seen it before. Mm-hmm. And it was fun because everyone was like reacting to the same thing. Everyone was crying at the end. It was.
Do you know how old you were the first time you saw it?
I think I was probably around 12 or 13, but I do remember my dad making it a thing. We were watching West Side Story that night.
I was 14, so.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Jeff, what's your favorite?
Okay, so, yeah, I had to think about this. So there were a few I considered. I'm like, is that one my favorite? I thought maybe South Park Bigger and Longer and Uncut was a possibility. And I was like, well, there's plenty of Disney movies. So many of the Disney animated classics are musicals. Yeah, so I think Aladdin is my favorite of those. But then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Of course, it came to me. Of course, this is a musical. And I love all these characters' appearances in any form of media. And I love all their songs. My favorite movie musical is The Muppet Movie.
Okay. So do they actually sing, like, is it they come out and do songs?
It starts with the Muppets watching the movie. It's like they're having a screening of the actual movie.
Okay.
And then the first scene of like the movie within the movie is Kermit at his home on a swamp singing Rainbow Connection. So that's how we meet Kermit. And then he meets up with Fozzie. And so they get on a road trip to go to Hollywood and become rich and famous. And while they're on the road, they sing Moving Right Along. So those are probably the two most famous songs from the movie. And then they meet Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem at I think it's a church, and then they sing. So like each song is an introduction to each character. So the Electric Mayhem song they do, the number is called Can You Picture That, which is a fun little funky number. And then they go to a county fair or state fair where Miss Piggy is the winner of a pageant. Mm-hmm. And she lays eyes on Kermit and falls in love with him right away and sings a song called Never Again. So it's kind of each song is an introduction to each Muppet. And it's like the perfect origin story of these beloved felt characters, even though the Muppet Show had been on for about 3 years at this point. So it was kind of like an origin story after the fact. Okay. You already love these characters. Now get introduced to them all over again, which I think is a good way to do it, because the writers, the creators have already discovered what works best about these characters. So that's available to stream on Disney Plus if you want to go and check it out. I also love it for its tendency to break the fourth wall. Like there's a few moments where Kermit will be like, oh, just read the script, and that way we don't have to explain how we got here to that up to this point.
Fozzie, you can't tell them the whole story, you'll bore the audience. Sorry. But, Kermit, the band here wants to know.
Well, let him read the screenplay.
Ah, yes, sir!
Okay. Kermit. I love Kermit.
What? Okay. I think that's like a popular BuzzFeed quiz, is like, which Muppet character are you?
Oh.
I usually get either Animal or Gonzo.
Well,
what do you guys think your results would be?
I don't know. I'd have to take a... Is there an actual test you can take?
Yeah, if you Google, like, what Muppet am I, a bunch of quizzes will pop up.
Yeah. I don't know
if they're scientifically accurate, but...
Yeah. I don't know who I'd be.
I feel like, as a child, I relate it to Miss Piggy, but... Mm-hmm. I'm not as loud and obnoxious as I once was. So.
I don't know who I'd be anymore. I don't know them very well anymore, so I can't remember. All right. Can we name a few quick, like, other runners-up that we liked?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't even thinking when you said Singing in the Rain and all those. There's so many. I just wrote Camelot, which is one of my other most favorites. And, of course, The Sound of Music. Did you have a few others, Kate?
So I had Grease.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
Annie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sound of Music, Hair, and Singing in the Rain were my...
Sure.
Yeah.
Hair is one of my favorites. That's Wesley's all-time favorite. Did you watch that with Wesley?
Yes, we
I
did.
So. Okay.
The first time I watched Hair with, like, Wesley.
Okay.
Watched that at, like, Long Beach Island one year.
Mm-hmm.
He brought it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. The music from that is so great.
Yeah.
Too. Oh, man. How about you, Jeff? Did you have some runners-up?
Well, I mentioned Aladdin, South Park, and I'd say, like, all the Disney movies of the 90s are worth mentioning.
Yeah, Aladdin was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so now
Jesus we have... Christ Superstar is also a good one.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good one. And God, I liked Godspell, too.
Godspell, too.
I love that music. All right, it's harder for the newer ones.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to the Forever section, which will straddle the favorite section a bit too, because in the Forever section we talk about what's going on right now in this particular topic. So we're gonna be picking, did I say the past 5 to 10 years, our favorite musical of that span of time? So yeah. So Katie, are you ready to reveal your recent favorite?
So my recent favorite, I went down the Disney road and I went with Moana.
Oh, I thought you would.
I didn't even think of the Disney ones. Okay.
Yeah. I struggled with this, and then when I was like, oh, I guess Disney movies do count, and Moana is one of my. I think it might be, of the newer Disney movies, it's definitely my favorite.
I didn't even see that one.
Yeah. It's the story of a girl who's in a Polynesian island. She's going to take over the village, and her quest is she wants to sail beyond the reef, and that's not what they do. So that's, you know, what... So she voyages beyond the reef. She gets help from Maui, who is a shape-shifting demigod. And she learns that what she needs to do to be able to sail is to restore the heart of the ocean. But so one of the reasons I love Moana is because it's so different from all Disney stories where her goal is not to find her prince.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And what contrasts, another reason why I like it different from West Side Story, is they took the casting very seriously and tried to cast all Polynesian.
Yeah.
So I wrote down how to say the star's name phonetically. It's Auli'i.
Okay.
Spelled A-U-L-I-I.
Wow, that's
hard. Is there an apostrophe between the eyes?
Yes, there's an apostrophe between the eyes.
She was on a show that I watched after. What was that show? She had a beautiful, voice.
Rise?
Is that Yes.
It? Oh, yeah.
I loved that show.
Is that with Josh Radnor? From How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah. It was just on for one season, I think.
Yeah.
I liked it.
She and was late. Yes, yeah, great. They cast it that role by going to different high schools, and that's how they did tryouts at different Polynesian high schools.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I think also one of the reasons why it's so good and why the songs are so good is because the songs are written by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes.
Who,
who is a genius, as we.
Yes.
He
can
do no wrong.
Yeah, lyricists of our time. And yeah, so my favorite song from that is I Am Moana, which is secondarily played to How Far I'll Go. But
okay. I Am Moana is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to listen to it. Yeah. I haven't really heard much of any of that.
It's very classic Disney song.
Yeah.
And I could see how some people would put it in the corny category, but, and then my runner up for this, I'll just say quickly, which is definitely in the corny category, is Mamma Mia 2, which I love more than the first Mamma Mia, and it's just silly and funny.
Yeah.
And when you don't want to think.
There was a fair bit of excitement for that one that I did not expect. Like I thought, there's definitely a contingent who like it more than the first one.
Oh, I like the first one much better than the second one.
I think they're both very silly. But
yeah.
They're silly and it's ABBA songs. It's
Yeah. I do love, what's her name? Lily James.
Mm-hmm.
She's just adorable.
Yeah.
That's Moana's available on Disney Plus, I would assume.
Yes.
I did. Mine's not very original because I picked this, but I even looked up like musicals from the last 10 years and I couldn't find very many, and I didn't think of Disney ones, so I had to stick with my La La Land, which is still one of my favorite movies, which came out in 2016, and which stars two of my favorite actors anyway, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. And it's just such a, it's like a love letter to the golden age of Hollywood and musicals anyway. So it's a good one to pick, because if you like musicals, then this, and it's just a great love story. They meet and fall in love while they're pursuing their dreams in L.A. And it's just great acting. It's a great soundtrack. It's got some great dancing. And sometimes, I think I said this to Jeff in our last episode, sometimes some of the newer musicals, you're not sure you're going to like the music. But this had a lot of catchy songs in it too, so I really enjoyed it and didn't really have any other runners up. Even I said a couple of, you mentioned a few underseen. I don't even know if I'd consider this a musical. I mentioned Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't know if those are considered musicals when it's like
Sometimes really, you see music biopics automatically categorized as musicals, but if the only performances are at concerts or like recording in the studio, then I don't consider it a musical.
I consider Rocket Man more, to me that was more of a musical than,
because
that was, it was more, when I watched it I said, oh, this is kind of a musical, it wasn't really a concert type of story, So, but yeah, there weren't very many other ones that I could think of. So.
Yeah, I was looking up to see if I had any other runners up that I just wasn't thinking of. And I was surprised that like Bohemian Rhapsody was in lists and Yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, I don't consider them.
That's not really a musical. Yeah. Although I love that, but.
Yeah.
There's one, Aunt Beth, that I'm hoping you didn't, and I'm not, that you didn't forget this or something, that I'm kind of surprised you didn't mention is, I know you love this movie, is Sing Street.
Oh, I did forget that. Oh my God. I didn't see that on the list.
We gotta call and complain to whoever made that list.
I know, that probably would have been, oh my God, that was one of my favorites. I think I looked up the Wikipedia, and then I looked up musicals of the 2010s. What year was that, about 2015 or 14?
2016.
Oh, same as La La La. Oh, man, I forgot all about that. Did you see that, Katie?
No, and I actually, last night, was thinking, I really need to watch this.
Oh, but, I love that. Well, I'm writing that right down. Okay, that's my runner-up with La La Land. Did you pick that, Jeff?
What was that?
Pick that for your newer one?
I considered mentioning Sing Street, but I thought you were gonna mention it. But in La La Land, did you check to see if that's streaming anywhere?
No, I didn't do for that. Sorry, I only did for my other one, so I forgot to check.
Well, I watched it on HBO. a few days ago. So I think if you have HBO or HBO Go or HBO Max, I think it's still available on there. But yeah, for my favorite recent one, now it wasn't, it was not Sing Street, although that I did consider that one, but it was another one that was just mentioned a few minutes ago, and that is Rocket Man. The Elton John biopic, which, and I would, as just as you were doing it, Beth, I'd compare it to Bohemian Rhapsody, which had come out like just 6 months earlier and was directed by the same person. Initially, Bryan Singer was directing Bohemian Rhapsody, but he left because of, I'm not sure what the whole story was there, but then Dexter Fletcher came in and finished the whatever remained to be film. And then I was not a huge fan of Bohemian Rhapsody, so when I saw that he was the director of Rocket Man, I wasn't particularly enthused by that. But then I went and saw it, and like, oh my God, I was just blown away, transported. This is like the most ebullient movie I've seen in quite some time. And it's because, you know, it could have been straightforward, but every performance scene, even when it's at a concert, has these flights of fancy. Like there's one part where Elton is performing Crocodile Rock. Taron Egerton plays Elton, and in the middle of it, he suddenly starts floating in the air. He has to lean back down to still be able to play his piano. And I think the audience starts lifting up too. And then the one big concert scene when he's performing the title song, he then walks off stage and has like this interaction with all these characters backstage, and he's like, it's at a bit of like a crossroads moment in his life where he's on his way to rehab or something like that. But yeah, it's like every performance scene captures the emotions of the songs by just being like, well, what if they're flying through the air? What if
It was a little depressing, too, though, because it showed a very not so nice side of Elton, too, that was, well, I guess the true side of him. That humor. No, it was. It was well done. And, of course, it was great music.
You know what the story is in the extended Malone family? Or actually, well, I forget who this is. Our dad would tell the story to us that at someone's birthday party, actually, I think it might have been Aunt Beth, your cousin Christopher, maybe like his 10th birthday party, he wished, when he was blowing out his candles, he wished that Crocodile Rock would be number one forever.
Yeah, no, it was, he was even young, like really young. It was so cute. Because we'd have to check what year Crocodile Rock came out, because Christopher was like really ahead of his time in music, and like half the kids didn't even know about the song, and that's what his wish was. It was really cute.
But, yes, so I think that story's told at most birthdays whenever we make a wish.
Yeah, he always tells it.
Looks like it came out in 1972.
Yeah, and Christopher was born in 66. So he was only like 6 years old. And he knew, like, he really knew his music. So, like, all the other kids were like, what the heck's he talking about? It was really cute.
I think I was probably about the same age when I first heard Crocodile Rock.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess where I first heard it?
Let's see.
A commercial.
It was something that was mentioned earlier.
Oh, no. On SNL.
Close. Right era. Similar show.
The Muppets.
Correct. The Muppet Show. Elton John was a guest one episode.
Oh, okay. All right. We should start. We're getting close to our songs. We should tie up our end here because we're getting close to the end. So you were talking about.
So Rocket Man is currently available to stream on both Hulu and Amazon. And I'll mention a couple other, like, underseen ones. Anna and the Apocalypse, to bring it back down to horror. There is a horror musical that came out a little over a year ago. It's about a zombie apocalypse in a small English village. And the kids dealing with it are singing their way through. If you like zombies and musicals, that's worth it.
I think I'll miss that one. Okay.
And I also want to recommend one particular scene from Rock of Ages, which I wasn't a huge fan of the movie overall, but I really loved the scene when Tom Cruise and Malin Ackerman sing I Want to Know What Love Is.
I forgot she was in that. And I forgot that. What year did that come out? Because I saw that.
2012.
I don't think that was on the list. This was a bad list. Okay.
Well, we've got one more big, quick thing to get to, which I said to each of us, let's come up with a pitch for a musical that's never been made before that we would like to see. So, Katie, what do you got for us?
So, mine is a spinoff from Lame Is that tells Ebony's story.
Which one's Ebony? Yeah, which one's
Ebony? Yeah, I don't remember either. Ebony is the one who sings, oh gosh, now On My Own.
And who played her in the...
She's the one who is in love with Eddie Redmayne's character.
Is it Samantha Barks who played her?
Yes, in that version? And she...
Okay.
And she played her on the theater version, too. So I think Ebony is an unsung hero of Lame Is.
And
I think she is in love with a boy who doesn't even know she exists and doesn't love her back. And I just feel like all young girls can relate to that.
So she deserves her own story.
Yeah. So similar to Wicked, where we see the side of the Wicked Witch of the West.
Okay.
Like that's to see Ebony's journey.
And would you just call it Ebony? Or did you...
I think that would work.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You put a lot of thought into that. I like that. I was making some funny ones. I thought of Parasite the musical. I thought that would be an interesting movie. And then I thought you were mentioning I forget what you said about Rockstar, or I'd asked you something, but I thought this was mine called Let's Spend the Night Together, the Mick Jagger story. I thought that might be an interesting one. So I can't believe there's never really been anything much about the Stones, a movie about them, really. So I thought that might be a good story. So those were my two.
You can maybe find out the secret to how Keith Richards has survived.
I know.
All his drug use.
Yeah, I know, and he's still going. They're all in their late 70s. What about you?
My idea is Jeopardy! The musical.
Okay.
We open up, zoom in on a contestant, then flash back to when he was just a boy or just a girl, depending on how it goes. And this person's is watching Jeopardy at home and is like, I want to be on Jeopardy. And cut it back and forth between. It'll be like taking place. There'll be one Jeopardy episode that lasts like the whole course of the movie, and various flashbacks to moments that are relevant to finally getting on and being a contestant. And I think it should have like a dash of Monty Python spirit to it.
Okay.
So if you've ever seen Spamalot musical, I think it should have some sort of self-awareness.
Yeah. So not where they have
some goofiness in that.
Thing that answers and questions.
What was?
Not that kind of.
Was that?
Not where they have to sing the questions. Not that kind of musical where they play. Well,
that could be like the name of one of the songs. Like, you have to sing it in the form of a question.
Yeah. I like that. Jeopardy! The musical. That sounds good.
Okay. Did Aunt Beth, did you have any trivia questions?
Oh, I didn't think of any trivia this time. I did write down a few of your uncle's songs, though, if you wanted me to mention those, but forgot about trivia this time.
Yeah, our Uncle Martin, Martin Malone, Aunt Beth's older brother, he's known in the family for his song parodies. I think one of his most famous is Constipation, to the tune of Oklahoma.
Constipation when you just can't get your bowels to move. That's the only one I remember.
He has a whole musical, Mary, Get Your Cross.
Is it? I wrote down, Wesley said it was Annie, Get Your Nun. And you have to sing to Annie, Get Your Gun. So I don't know. And then he told me Genesis the Musical. He has a whole one.
Yeah.
And West Bank Story, where he said, he told me the one to America, it says, I want to live in Jerusalem. No, you can't live in Jerusalem. Only let Jews in Jerusalem.
That's we should do like an Uncle Martin Oscars or something where we pick the best of his songs.
So those are, he should have been some kind of writer Has fun doing those. I think
he's submitted a few poems to the New Yorker or something here and
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he actually sent a poem off to for last week. He sent it to me that he wrote for Wesley and Elizabeth for their wedding. That was beautiful. So about us all being together. So yeah, he writes beautiful poetry.
He does, yeah.
But anyway, that's our. For,
yeah. I did come up with one trivia question quick. I like this. Yes. I'll give both of you a chance to answer. Okay. What are the 10 movies, 10 musicals of one Best Picture at the Oscars? What are the first and most recent ones? I'll be very surprised if you can guess the first one.
Oh, the first and most recent that have won Best
Picture,
best movie. Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. That's a hard one. First and most recent, huh? Wow, first musical. Huh. I have no idea. Singing in the Rain.
I was gonna guess Singing in the Rain.
That's one of them.
But that's not first. Is it before that?
It's 1929.
Oh, okay. The Something Follies.
What was that?
The Something Follies.
I think that's actually the second one, the Ziegfeld Follies.
Oh, okay.
But there was one before that.
Oh, okay. What is it? I don't think we'll ever get it.
It's the Broadway Melody of 1929.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And then there's a more. Oh, the most recent. I have a guess. Do you have a guess, Kate?
Most recent. I don't think it won. Can you give us the year?
Well, I have my guess.
I'll give you the year. It was 2002.
I think I know.
Yeah, give your guess, because
Chicago.
Let me correct my... Yes, Chicago is correct.
Ah.
So none since then.
It was the... Do you want to correct myself quick? It was not the Ziegfeld Follies that was the second one. It was the Great Ziegfeld.
Oh, okay. God, Broadway movie. That's a good trivia question, though. So they're
actually, and Singing in the Rain actually did not win, it looks like.
Oh, okay. So West Side, did Sound of Music win?
What was that?
Did the Sound of Music actually win Best Picture?
Music did. Yes, Sound of Music won, and so did West Side Story.
Yeah, I knew West Side Story did.
Overall, 10 musicals have won Best Picture in Oscar history. I think we've said everything there is to say about musicals now.
Yes.
Hopefully we've changed some people's minds about going to see some.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap it up, Katie, is there anything you'd like to promote or anything you'd like to recommend that's going on?
Well, not that any of this really needs promoting, but for those of us who aren't lucky enough to live in New York or live in a big city to see Hamilton on Broadway, it will be coming to Disney Plus July 4th weekend with the original cast.
Oh, I heard they were, so they're just going to show like a filmed version. They filmed the play and they're going to show it. Is it just going to be one time on Disney Plus?
No, I believe it will be available for streaming.
Oh, okay.
Which, yes, unfortunately.
They don't have Disney Plus.
Disney Plus doesn't need more money or anything.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, because I want to see it so bad. I'll have to get it for just, what, like a week or something?
Right, get the free trial.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I did that with HBO when I needed it for something.
Yeah.
To watch Gary Gulman when I watched that. Oh, man. Well, that's exciting, though, because I have to watch that. You guys have all seen, well, you saw Hamilton, but not with the original cast.
Not with the original cast, no.
Okay.
Do you have anything to promote or recommend, Aunt Beth?
No, well, I do recommend that quiz. I watched that Sunday night. Oh, it's so good. Did you watch it?
Yes.
Did you watch
it? I really liked it a lot.
What is this?
It's based on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire scandal in Great Britain that took place in 1999, was it, Jeff?
It's 2001.
Oh, 2001. This couple that they're accused of, he wins $1 million and they're accused of cheating. And it just, I don't know, do you know how many episodes it is?
Three.
That's all? Ooh,
yeah.
So it just started last Sunday, and it's so good already. So you should watch it. Did you watch Fleabag?
I watched Fleabag.
The girl that played her sister plays the wife. Wasn't it gets you hooked right away. I really liked it far. So it's on Sunday night on AMC. So you could probably watch it on demand if you missed the. So yeah, I recommend that if people especially if you're a millionaire fan, it draws you right in.
All right, I'll let you sign off. Do your sign off, Aunt Beth.
Oh, what do I usually say? What is good night? What is good night?
Okay. Well, I'll remind everyone to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we'll be back. I think our next episode's going to be the best TV shows of the 2010s.
Ooh, I haven't done that
one. So get ready for that. And in the meantime, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.